Hello and welcome to the Essence Seeker Podcast. This is your host, Dhruvananda Das, aka Dhruv O'Shea. All glories to the Vaishnavas, all glories to the Essence Seekers. Today's episode, well, before I introduce it, I've got quite a few episodes in the pipeline. But some of them are a little more academic and they still need a little adjusting before I put them up. But today's episode, so you can expect to see those soon, today's episode is about geometry, the beauty of geometry and observing geometry, and in relation to the self and the supreme person, God. Now, this realization came to me as I adjusted some little metal cubes in my desk in my home, and I arranged them in a way that was kind of like a Sri Yantra. Just by chance, I was moving them around, not really by chance, I was adjusting them around, and I noticed them in a certain alignment. I thought, wow, that's really beautiful. It's very pleasing. It's like it changed my perspective on the cubes and the room and everything, just have the three cubes in a certain kind of alignment. So then I was thinking how powerful this is, how potent it is. Geometry, shapes, lines, some pleasing, some very disturbing. Right now I'm saying this in a shopping center where the ceiling is about 15 meters high. And the reason they do this is it gives you the cathedral feel. Well, they make cathedrals to inspire that awe within us when we're in them. They make them very high like that. So like, wow, this is, you know, the realm of God up there, the heavens in the cathedral, inspires like that. So now they make the shopping centers like that too. And you notice a big difference if you go to a cheap shopping center in the western suburbs, which is just, you know, like 3 or 4 meter ceiling or less. And you feel claustrophobic. You feel closed up. You don't feel kind of trapped. You don't feel open and willing to hand over your money, to open yourself up. Right, like you would in a church where you feel opened up to give your life to God, right? In the shopping mall now, we opened up to give our life, give our money, our lifeblood to corporations. It's very clever. We're not forced. We do it voluntarily because the geometry is made for it. The way they've designed it, even the shapes of the clothes and everything, the fashion, all the little accessories, it all comes down to geometry and how it makes us feel, yeah? Very powerful. Anyway, today's episode is about that. I hope you enjoy it, and I look forward to hearing from you guys, or also sharing more podcast episodes with you shortly. Peace. God is geometry, and we are admirers of the beauty of geometry. No matter how matter, this physical world, material substance, is arranged, we only can observe it. We can observe it from different angles, different perspectives. We can see it looking ugly, we can see it looking beautiful, depending on the angles and the kind of attitude that we have towards it. We don't make geometry. Geometry, the rules of geometry are there. They're intrinsic in existence. We don't make them. We feel like we can manipulate them. Like if you have three cubes and you position the three of different sizes and you position them around inside and around each other in different ways, different angles, different places, you get different perspectives. You look at it, it gives you a different feeling. If they're all put in, if they're all unaligned, it looks quite random and nothing, no real point to it. Whereas if they're all aligned nicely, you can get a nice yantra and it's very pleasing to the mind. So we feel like we can manipulate physical things, but actually we can't, because we don't know how it is that we're moving our body to even move the physical things. So if I adjust the three cubes with my hands, in illusion or in ignorance or in the ignorant state, I'm saying that I've moved the cubes. But factually, I have not moved them. I have some will, some desire, and then my body, which is made from, on the surface level, is physical. It is also under the laws of geometry, and my body is, geometry is moving geometry, but I'm not moving it. I have desire and will, and then somehow the physical world either fulfills or doesn't fulfill my desire. So we can't change the geometry. We can't change the rules of it, and we're limited to what we can do with it depending on what it allows us to do. Yeah, so God is geometry. The universe and existence itself is made up of laws. There's always an absolute center to different objects. We have our subjective center, that's our perspective on things. So God is geometry, and we are only the admirers. We are the admirers of geometry. We are clear. We are clear, we're transparent, because you can't find any part that's just you. You can't find any part of existence that is just you. All right? Because if you find something, then you're observing it, so then it's not you already. You're the ever clear, elusive observer of the reality, which is God. Right, but you do have a perspective. You definitely have a perspective, and it's not the whole perspective. This is the idea of the Mayavadis, that under illusion, that the one comes under illusion and becomes the many, and that's us. But when we're not in illusion, we are all the one. But that's not the case. You do have a unique perspective. It's just not yours only. It's not yours only. That unique perspective actually belongs to God. You know, your eyes, the window that you are experiencing reality through, that is God's Jiva Shakti, or living entity Shakti, energy, living entity energy, that allows for him to see his own geometry, to see himself from infinite perspectives and have infinite relationships. And then depending on us, the individuals, the jivas, depending on what our desires are, see, this is what we are. We are desire. We're not really a thing. We are no thing. But we are a potential relationship with God. With God and his energies, with geometry. We're a potential relationship with geometry. I desire to interact with the world, with others, with God, in these moods, in these relationships. And they can be influenced by others. If we don't know what is pure love, if we've never experienced it, then we may not desire it. But then as we come across people who have it, we develop a desire for it. Our desires change by influence. We influence each other. And we probably go up and down, up and down. You know, there's times when we're deeply in the mode of goodness and purity and love, and then we fall out of that and into greed and envy and ignorance, and then we become, you know, our intelligence is sharpened and we become dissatisfied, and we gradually levitate, elevate up and towards goodness and purity again. Some people remain, some people going up and down. It's a game of hide and seek, remembrance and forgetfulness. And the joy of returning, the joy of reunion after separation. So, Krishna, God, has this potency, the living entity potency, which are infinite the potential, infinite potential relationships and perspectives of himself, with himself. And so this is his Jiva Shakti. This is his infinite living entity energy. Right? It's not ours. Okay? So even though you have a unique perspective, it's not yours. It's not independent. There is no independent living entity. We are dependent. And because we are dependent on the Supreme Person, on God, we can be situated within his internal energies. It means, you know, spiritual focus. It means to live in a way that is pleasing to the owner of the energies and experience that bliss of being in beautiful alignment with the Supreme. Or we can live in rejection of the source of geometry, the personality of beautiful geometry. We can be in rejection. We can live in rejection, and there's facilities provided for that. There's ahankara, the I maker, the separator, and that is an aspect of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is the material incarnation of Krishna, and that allows us to look at the world as if we are the center, because once you are separated from the center of everything, then you become a new center. But it's artificial. You have to reject the source of you, and then you can feel as though you are manifesting your little reality out of yourself. And this in rejection, then we can look at the material world. We can look at the physical world and just say, okay, we can, you know, empiricism. Well, only what I can sense through my senses is real, and everything else is artificial. Everything else is secondary. So first there's the physical world, that is reality. And then this sense of self, me, and my thoughts and desires and my story in life, this is all artificial, temporary, and just a strange little product of matter. What is this? This is a perspective. It's a certain way of looking at the geometry of reality. It's a certain way. It's just one kind of way, which is very prominent these days, of looking at reality. I'm going to look at it as if it is disconnected from anything transcendental, anything personal. It's all impersonal and accidental manifestation by chance out of nothingness. This is a perspective. It's one way. Once you cut yourself off from the self of the self, the super self, the one who is manifesting us, the jivas, the living entities, once you allow the false ego to give you that false sense of separation, which is kind of like dirt on a mirror, then you can look at yourself instead of in the world, instead of your the self of yourself. When you clean the mirror, then you can see the self of yourself, the Paramatma, Kshiradakshay Vishnu, or Krishna for the bhaktas. Yeah, so once you've had that created, once you've allowed or accepted that artificial covering, that artificial separation, then you're looking at the geometry in a way that you can say it's empty and meaningless. It's just random chance. And many people like to say, oh, just it's beautiful anyway, and just be in awe of the beauty even though you don't have to know how or why. They say that, but this is kind of artificial. This is artificial religion. This is trying to be spiritual without being religious, or trying to be spiritual and religious without acknowledging any superior personality or mind in existence. So then you're looking at these three cubes in alignment and you're thinking, oh yeah, that's, you know, that's interesting. That's interesting object, right? But you're not looking at the source of geometry. Why is it that things can be in alignment, out of alignment? How is it that shapes affect how I feel? right? How does a physical thing affect a physical thing? There's something else going on. There's something behind the physical things that is aware. It is seeing the physical things. It's seeing the geometry, and it's having different feelings. This is aesthetics. Aesthetics, they change the way you feel. You go into nature and people are uplifted. Why is that? Nature is pure fractals. You go to the forest, it's fractals. Pure fractals. You got earth. It's like one large earth mass, one mountain, looks like a big rock. You go up closer and there's smaller rocks, and then those rocks are made of smaller and smaller rocks, little pebbles all stuck together, and then they made little grains of sand stuck together, and they made a little atom stuck together. It's fractal. The trees. The tree is like a twig sticking out of the ground with smaller twigs coming off it, and smaller twigs, and then leaves, and then inside the leaves there's all these veins in the leaves, and larger veins and smaller veins, going it out into atoms, and then the atoms are made up of smaller things. Fractal. The universe is a body, and then it has planets that make up planets and gases and stuff that make up the universe, and the planets, on the planets there's smaller organisms and smaller organisms, and you get to humans. Humans is just like one level of reality, you know, the perspective of a human is just one level. And you go down to the body of the human, it's made up of cells, and there's bacterias, billions and billions of little bacterias on our bodies. And then if you go onto the body of one of those bacterias and you zoom in further, you find billions of little bacterias on the bacteria's body. It's fractal, and it's never ending. To the largest of large, to the smallest of the small, reality is fractals, geometry, fractals, continuous. You know, what we call the physical world is just one edge of a fractal. Okay, it's like a wall and a fractal. If you look at, you go onto YouTube and you look at fractals, they do these computer simulations where they have a certain, an algorithm that runs a calculation, and it's self-referencing, and it continues. Just continues for like millions and millions of repetitions, and you get all these fantastic patterns, these acid-like patterns, different colors and different shapes, different geometry. And then, but there's, you'll see there's different lines, sections separating colors and shapes, right? So one of those lines is the physical world. If what we're seeing is just one thin layer where our senses touch the objects of the senses, the material world, which is the Virat Rupa, a manifestation of the Paramatma, right? So we feel like we're moving around in three-dimensional space, you know, and seeing cars driving along the road. We got all this perspective, you know, I can kind of sense that the car in front of me is 100 meters away. We have all this three-dimensional experience, but the actual level that the world is meeting us is just a thin layer where our senses touch the objects. My hand is touching the steering wheel, the photons are entering the holes in my eyes, the fragrances are coming in my nose and touching my tongue, sound coming in the ears and tickling the little hairs in my ears, and then it's all being processed by the mind is putting it all together in my brain, you know, all this sensory input coming into my brain. My mind is capturing it all, and then my intelligence is putting it together in a way that is meaningful to me, right? So we put so much emphasis in the modern world, you know, this after the Enlightenment period, really actually since the time of the pre-Socratics. We depersonalized everything and tried to understand the world in parts, physical things made up of tiny little parts, you know, atoms, and take personality out of it. You know, God got pushed out of the universe. And then with, you know, this way of thinking has given us lots of technology, lots of interesting technology. And medicine And we've been able to manipulate the physical world to a great extent. And even in many ways, the subtle, the mental world through different chemicals, drugs, and different things like that. You know, people who are depressed, they take some stimulant that gives them, you know, puts some chemicals in their system that gives them a better feeling. They feel more bubbly, more nice. So this is we've been able to manipulate through science the world in great detail, but it's only really at that thin level of the physical empirical world, and this has very little to do with mind, intelligence, and ego, the self, the observer of the whole thing. These sciences we attempt to understand through things like psychology and philosophy, anthropology, but they are very plastic. They're different in different parts of the world, different languages, different cultures. You know, I can have an influence on you. You can be listening to this and you are influenced by the words I'm saying, but it's very difficult to measure scientifically what kind of influence, how much of an influence. But definitely it's happening, but we don't understand. We have a very high level of confidence in this thin layer of the physical layer of the fractal. But the whole thing is being perceived through much more sublime aspects of being. And therefore, it is very important to develop these aspects, to understand these aspects of ourselves, and to develop them, because then we're going to appreciate the geometry in much more definition and detail, and with much more connection, seeing the connections between everything, which gives a greater sense of meaning and value in our existence. Now, you don't, of course, no one has to accept this or pursue this, not at all. But if you like the sound of it, and if it does interest you, then I encourage you to continue to seek, to put into practice and experience, like reflect on your experiences, develop your relationship with your conscience, with the Paramatma, who is the source of knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness, and who is the end of all knowledge. And see if your quality of life improves and all your desires are fulfilled. And if it does, then you can thank me later. If it doesn't, then tell me what you've got. How about that? Tell me what you've got that's better. Yeah. If you can try what I'm saying and you don't think it's as good as what you've got, then explain to me what you've got. Share it around. Don't be greedy. Okay, I'm going into the dentist now to get my teeth drilled. Maybe I've been contemplating not getting the local anesthetic, the painkiller, and seeing how that goes, and contemplating doing some meditation in and around intense nerve stimulation / pain. Om Asato Matsat Gamaya Tamaso Ma Jyoti Gamaya Mrityo Mam Ritam Gamaya. Take me from untruth to truth, from darkness to light, from death to immortality. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. O energy of the Supreme Lord, O Supreme, all-attractive reservoir of pleasure, Krishna, Rama, please purify my heart and engage me in your service. Allow me to see the beautiful geometry of your energies, and allow me to see ways that I can engage with these energies that is pleasing for you and pleasing for all other living entities. Om Tat Sat. This is Dhruvananda Das signing out from Robina, Queensland, Australia. Go Brahmananda!
Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Radhara Shivasadi Gauravatthavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.